Praise the Lord. This morning we will continue our fellowship concerning the true worshipers. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Last night, I was once again deeply reminded that we need to take God's words seriously. God is very clear from His Word how He wants us to worship. And because He is God our Father, He gets to decide. Right? It's very reasonable. Right? If you want to worship me, then you do whatever is according to my word. And what God has planned and designed in His word is also very reasonable. Right? And it's a wonderful way that God wants us to worship Him. Yeah. The verses in John 4. The Father desires true worshipers who would worship Him in spirit and in reality. Worship is a big matter in God's Word.
Amen.
I have never seen this until recently. We need to know how to worship our God.
Yes.
Amen.
And God spells it out in His Word very, very clearly how He desires us to worship Him.
Amen.
And we need to follow this.
Right.
Unfortunately, today we worship Him in however way we want to, in a crazy way sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jumping around and rolling. Beating the drums, yeah, even rolling on the floor. And we call that worship.
Mm.
Such a shame. The Father.
Right.
As believers, we are believers because we believe in God's Word, right? Yeah, God's Word gives us the living faith. And so when we are now believers, born again, we are now born of the Spirit, we must continue to worship the Father according to His way, according to what He has written. And it's really important that we read God's Word very carefully, what is written. And every commandment, the Lord desires us to keep them. As it was shared last night, when the Lord came, He did not abolish the law, He fulfilled the law.
Amen.
And He uplifted it. And He is the fulfillment of all these sacrifices in the Old Testament. And He is the real reality of all these offerings. So it's really important that we experience the Lord today. It doesn't mean that the Lord is done away with what we call so-called Old Testament. The Lord never says that. He calls it the Holy Scripture. This is really important for us to see this. And so this morning, we need to find out where we should worship. And this is, for us Christians, the most important question. Now that we are believers, where should we go to meet? Many people today are asking this question, and we need to come back to God's Word. And in the verses that we read in Deuteronomy 12, verse 5 says, "But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses."
Amen.
Amen. This is very clear.
Right.
On the one hand, in John 4, the Father is seeking such to worship Him,
Amen.
The true worshipers. And then on our part, we need to seek the place where God, our Lord, chooses. Today, we are too free to choose.
Right.
There's too many choices. So confusing here. We should not do it according to that.
Amen.
We need to go back to God's Word. The Word says very clearly, seek the place where the Lord your God chooses. So when we come to the Lord's Word, we need to have an open mind. We need to ask the Lord to remove all of our concepts. As it was shared last night, we have a lot of needs ourselves. And we are always praying for the Father to meet our own needs. And no one is asking, Father, what do you need? Right? What would satisfy you? Right? You know, there was a person in the Bible named David. He knew what God wanted. So he was a man after God's heart. The Lord today needs to raise up many more Davids. We all need to learn to know how to satisfy the Father.
Amen.
So, according to His Word, we need to find out where the Lord chooses, where He wants us to meet, where He put His name for His dwelling place. And it says, there you shall go.
Amen.
In these verses, the Lord many times would say, there you shall go. There you shall go. There you shall offer. There, right? So, why isn't no one asking, where is that? Right? We all choose based on our own needs. Right? Oh, I'm Chinese. Let me go to a Chinese church. Right? Oh, I'm German. Go to a German church. I don't like things too loud. I don't like things too dead. We have too many choices. Yeah. I like a big church. I like a small church. This is our own preference. We need to recognize, Lord, it's not about me.
Exactly.
It's about what the Father desires.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We can be meeting in every place, but if that place is not where the Lord chooses, then what good is it to our Father? He wouldn't care, right? You can go there, you can go there, go to the mountain, go anywhere, right? But that's not where the Lord chooses. This is very important. Now, why would the Lord speak this, and then now today, you can just go anywhere? It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Right?
Our Father is extremely careful, pointing out so much in detail, mentioning in so many places where He chooses. It surely does not make sense that today you can just go anywhere, me in the home, anywhere. This is not the Father's desire. This cannot be. We need to come back to God's Word. This is not our words. This is the Lord's Word. The Lord says, you shall see the place where the Lord your God chooses.
Amen.
And there you shall bring all your offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God.
Yes.
Father's desires to be worshipped in the place where He chooses. Yeah. Now, for many of us, we have our own favorite place to eat, right? Yeah, when you have your birthdays or your anniversary or whatever it is, your special day, that's my favorite place. Right? So, our Father has a favorite place. And He has put His name there. And it says, He has put His name there and it's a dwelling place forever. So, it doesn't mean that, okay, in 2,000 years ago, that was the place. Today, no, it's a different place. No, it says His dwelling place forever. This is very important. We need to find out where this is. And in Psalm 132, we sang that song earlier, verses 13 and 14 says, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He hath desired it for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. The Lord has made it very clear, right? These verses do not need a whole lot of interpretation. Right? We just need to really read it with our spirit and go to the Lord and pray. Right? Lord, where is it you want me to meet? The Lord has chosen Zion. So, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, the Lord also tells us very clearly what we should not do. Right? So it's very important that we also read these two verses. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Let's read them. Amen.
You shall not at all do as we are doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you.
So the Lord is speaking very clearly, and this is surely our situation today. He says, you shall not at all. This is very specific. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today. Right? And back in those days, everyone was doing whatever is right in his own eyes. And this is confusion. Right? Youth. Do what think you it's right in your eyes. Right? I have eyes too. Right? Everybody has their own eyes. Right? Sometimes people say, I have four eyes. Too many eyes. This is our problem. Right? We only need the Lord's eyes. What he sees, what he chooses, that's what we should do. But today, there is too much confusion. We are doing things that is right according to our own eyes. And the Lord gives this to us as a warning because he is saying, be careful because for as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. So be careful. If you continue to do what is good according to your own eyes, you will not get this. You will not get the rest, and you will not get the inheritance. And this is really important. Yeah, we need to take heed to God's word. And what is the children of Israel doing at that time? They were doing things according to the ways of the nation. The Gentiles, all the different tribes. And if we also read in Deuteronomy chapter 12, the earlier verses from verses 2 to 4, the Lord says very clearly, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods. On the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars,
amen,
break their sacred pillars,
amen,
and burn their wooden images with fire. And you shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place.
Amen.
And then he says very clearly, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. This is very clear. Today, we Christians like to use many things to worship our God. And we almost look like the nations. Sometimes it's even hard to tell. are these really God's people? Because they're doing everything according to the ways of the nations. This past week on the news, I read that there's a group in the U.S. They use rodeo to attract people. So in their congregation, they would have a rodeo service. And then afterwards, they would stop, and then they would worship God. And they attract a lot of people who love rodeo. Yeah. And there's another group, they do wrestling.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, they stop in the middle, and they do wrestle, and then they worship God, and they attract a lot of people. There is all kinds of things going on today, right? Basketball, you name it. Whatever it is that man desires, we use that to gain people. It's a shame. The word says very clearly, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. And we bring them into so-called house of God. Rock music, you know, all these things. Yeah. In the name of gaining people, that's all we're interested in today, is gaining people. We don't really care what the Father desires. This is really important. We have to see this. You know, you can be a mega, but if the Lord is not pleasing, then you can gain as many people as you want. I'd rather go where the Lord chooses. Because as we pray, if the Father is happy, then I am truly happy. If the Father is not happy, how can we be joyful? Right? How can we be rejoicing? There's no way.
Absolutely.
We have to really go before the Lord and check His Word. And there is a consequence when God's people disobey His Word and began to worship the idols and became to take the ways of the nations. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the Lord took away God's people into captivity. Verses 17 to 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 17 to 21. The Lord says, therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand, and all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Yeah. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all of its palaces with fire, destroyed all its precious possessions, and those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Yeah, we talked about this when we were in the book of Daniel. It's really sad to see the result. Today, the situation is very much the same. Because God's people decided to do whatever is right according to their own eyes, we're taken captivity into Babylon,
right,
into the land of Babel, confusion and dispersion and division. This is surely not according to God's way and not satisfying to the Father. Today, the Lord is calling us to come out of all these captivity that we were in. To come and seek the place where the Lord chooses. So let's all turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Verses 22 and 23. Amen. But you have come to Mount Zion,
and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Amen. Today, the proper church life is the heavenly Jerusalem. We need to be this. The Lord is calling us. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. The Lord has placed his name on Zion. And Zion is the highest peak in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem today is no longer earthly. It's heavenly. So the proper church life today, where the brothers and sisters come to meet to worship the Father, forsaking all of our own needs, desiring to seek what the Father desires, where he chooses to meet, this is the proper church. And this is what we seek to be. We all need to do this. This is God's call to us. Jerusalem today is no longer the physical place there in Palestine. Because it says it's the heavenly Jerusalem. Today, as God's people, we are God's heavenly people. We have a heavenly citizenship. Yes. I am no longer just a U.S. citizen. We have a much better heavenly citizenship.
Amen.
This is really important. We do not belong to the earthly realm of things. The church today is not a physical building. It is a spiritual building.
Amen.
It's a spiritual house. The Lord is desiring to build. And this is very clearly pointed out in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 to 22. I'll read them to you. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So today, first of all, as we were sharing last night, it's not there anymore, but we can still visualize it. First of all, we need to be in the Spirit, right? We need to be people of the Spirit, right? The Spirit is the most important organ in our being, where the Lord has a foothold. And if you are in the Spirit, and I am in the Spirit, when we come together, we can worship the Father in spirit.
Amen.
And the Lord is today building a building that is not physical, that's not made by hands.
Right.
It's a spiritual building. And when we come together, we become a dwelling place of God in spirit. And this is where the Lord wants us to worship him. This is where he wants us to bring our offerings. This is very clear. So today, the Lord is calling many. Many Christians today are very dissatisfied. with the hypocrisy that is going on all over the place. And they have an emptiness wherever they're meeting, and they don't know why. The bigger the group, the emptier they become. The lonelier they become. And they have no idea why. Well, we know why. Because they are not seeking where the Father is seeking. If God is not happy, how can we be happy? So, we have a burden today to sound out the trumpet to many who are around us, who are seeking Christians, to let them know that there is a place where the Lord has chosen today. And we need to meet together in this place where the Father could be satisfied. You know, earlier we were reading in John chapter 4, verse 20, that says, "Our Father worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Strangely, some people would use these verses and they say, "See, today you don't have to be in Jerusalem. You can worship the Father anywhere," right? That's not true, right? What the Lord is referring here is that old Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem. That's no more. You don't have to go there. God is not there. God has left that place. But God is today building a heavenly Jerusalem. And we read those verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Right? Come to Mount Zion. Right? It's the city of God. The heavenly Jerusalem. The Lord today is desiring to build a proper church life. And this is what we need to seek. This is very, very important. And ultimately, we see this in Revelation 21, where it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband."
Amen.
Amen. This is the proper church life today that the Lord is building. This heavenly New Jerusalem is not going to just come down from heaven out of nowhere. The Lord is building this today among us. Right? Even though physically we may be on the earth, but what we are building is something heavenly, something spiritual, something that will really satisfy the Father. And it is, says here, it's a bride prepared, adorned for her husband. Who's the husband? Christ. And who's the bride? The church. Yeah. We are the church, the bride of Christ. One day there will be a marriage of the Lamb, right? Yes. And we want to be there, right? So this conference is to prepare us. So today, this word is very, very practical. We all need to ask the Father, "Father, how do you want me to worship you? And where do you want me to worship you?" We need to pray for this, right? And we praise the Lord by the Lord's mercy. He has revealed His wonderful purpose to us. And now it is our burden to share this to all those who are around us. Yeah. The condition among God's people today is very similar to what is described there in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Everyone is setting up churches that is right according to their own eyes. We have to stop this, right? It's a nonsense. We need to come back to God's word, right?
Amen.
So, who among us is asking, Father, how would you like us to worship you? We are. Amen. By the Lord's mercy. Right? And
amen.
Where should we go? And what kind of worship that is well-pleasing to you? Yeah. So these days, may we pray to the Father that he will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Amen. That the eyes of our heart may be enlightened.
Yeah.
We may see his marvelous plan.
Amen.
And really give ourselves to him. Right? You will not regret it if you do this.
Amen.
The Lord will bless you. Every spiritual blessing.
Amen.
If we obey the Lord's command, he surely will bless us.
Amen.
Yeah, it's really about our choice today. And we need to choose properly, carefully. As we share, in the Garden of Eden, the Lord gave man a choice. We choose wrong. Okay? And there's a consequence. Today, we also have a choice to make. And that's why in Deuteronomy 9, the Lord says, I give you two choices, life and death. And the Lord says,
therefore
choose life. Right? Today, we have to choose carefully. Right? There are 1,000 places we can go. We need to learn to choose what God chooses. If we obey the Lord speaking, he surely will bless us.
Amen.
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 Thank the Lord.
Yes, Lord, we ask you to open our eyes.
Amen.
To give us revelation.
Amen.
Wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
To really know the reality of Zion.
Yes.
The place where you have chosen.
Amen.
Oh. Yes, we want to seek out the place that you have chosen.
Amen.
And to be those whom you are seeking for.
Right.
To worship you in spirit.
Yes.
And with the reality of Christ.
Amen.
We pray that this word will be inscribed in our heart.
Amen.
Show us the very nature of your church.
Amen.
Show us that it's heavenly.
Yes.
And the reality is in our spirit.
Amen.
Oh Lord, how much we need your grace and mercy.
Amen.
To break through.
Amen.
Into the reality.
Amen.
This wonderful Zion.
Amen.
Lord, we are not satisfied with just the doctrine. Even on the ground of the church.
Yes.
Thinking one city, one church is already the church.
Yes.
We pray you will open our eyes.
Amen.
To see your church as something heavenly.
Amen.
Amen.
Something spiritual.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus,
yes.
We call upon your name.
Amen.
Pray that your spirit will teach us.
Amen.
The anointing will teach us to build.
Right.
According to God's way.
Amen.
And to realize that this heavenly city.
Yes.
That you, O Father.
Amen.
You are the architect.
Amen.
And you are the builder.
Amen.
And it's not according to man's will.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
And man's plan.
Amen.
We pray that you will really find a group of people who will finish this wonderful course.
Amen.
At the end of this age.
Amen.
Amen. We do look to you together.
Yes.
And pray for the fulfillment of this wonderful heavenly vision.
Amen.
As Paul, we want to be able to say that we will not be disobedient.
Amen.
To this heavenly vision.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Father, these days may we seek you out.
Amen.
To seek you for the place you have chosen.
Amen.
Yes, deliver us from just knowing the doctrines, the teachings of the church.
Oh,
but we do want to enter into the reality.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, bring us into the reality.
Amen.
Ones who are growing up into the head.
Amen.
Who is Christ.
Amen.
Who is head over all things to the church.
Amen.
Oh, that we would not be tossed to and fro.
Amen.
With every winds of doctrine.
Amen.
Bring us into this reality.
Amen.
Father, to know what is on your heart.
Amen.
What you desire for your dwelling place.
Amen.
What you desire for us to do in your dwelling place.
Amen.
Oh, turn us in these days.
Yes.
We want the reality of the church life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I think I just have a few words to say.
Amen.
Is it off?
It's on.
Yeah, praise the Lord. We have to be on in our spirit all the time. Today you need to really see that the church is something more than what we understood before. You need to see that the church is heavenly in nature. And our spirit, if you truly are a person living in and by the Spirit, how can you tell? How can I tell if, or how can you tell if I am in my spirit? It's not hard. You just take a good look at me to see if my daily living, my speaking, my behavior, everything, is it fleshly or is it truly heavenly? You know, if you put the Lord and the high priest at that time when he was on this earth together with the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes and compare them, you should be able to see the difference. The Pharisees were lying, behaving in a fleshly way, trying to murder the Lord Jesus, hypocritical. Right, you can see Psalm 120 with the lying lips and deceitful tongue and hating peace and loving to make war. And all of these things, if you see these things, especially among the leading ones, then you must be able to tell whether that place is a heavenly place or an earthly place. Is it hard to tell? Suppose you caught me lying left and right for 9 months. How about that? Then I flip-flop. You think heavenly, the angels in the heavens with the Lord Jesus sitting on the throne and the Father there, they are flip-flopping all the time. Today like this, tomorrow like that, next week like that, and the end of the week is... What do you call... those athletes who pretend to fall and all that flopping.
They flop.
You see, they flip flop. They flop. You see things like that in a church life. Unrighteousness, lying, hypocrisy. You think heaven is like that? What do you think? Are you sure? You can see Michael lying and fighting with Gabriel. Casting some of the good angels out of heaven. Oh, goodness sake. Above that. Do you think that's heavenly? Oh, I'm sure you see Satan and all his fallen angels are doing that. But I tell you, even Satan and his fallen angels didn't dare to do that. You know why? Because if they do that, their kingdom will not stand.
Right.
That's what the Lord Jesus said.
Yeah.
A kingdom divided in itself cannot stand. Now, what about a church life you see cutting off the best saints? That's heavenly nature? That's devilish nature. Fleshly. Demonic. That's man's wisdom, what James says, is not only earthly, not only human, but it's what? Say it loudly.
Demonic.
What? I didn't hear it.
Demonic.
Demonic.
Yeah. Well, I heard it. Now I heard it. Loud and clear. If you see people behaving like that, don't tell me that is the heavenly Zion. That is the earthly Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Which already happened something like 2,000 years ago. No wonder the father of the Lord says, no, Abraham is not your father, but
the devil. Father is the devil.
You are of your father, the devil. Well, that is a hard saying, right? No, it's not a hard saying. It is the true saying. Right. So today, my understanding of the proper real church life is not just one city, one church. That is a long time ago, at a time of Watchman Nee. That was 80, 90 years ago. But I'm not saying it was wrong. But hey, the church is heavenly. Why I've seen so many people using that so-called crown of the church as the reason for their being the church. And unfortunately, they lock people in with that kind of an understanding, so you dare not to get out of it, although it was altogether wrong.
Yeah.
You know, recently I was in Taipei, and one brother told me what he heard, what LSM said in Chinese. I'm going to say it in Chinese. I'm sorry, some of you don't understand Chinese. Qian chuo wan chuo, he jiu zi dui. Qian dui wan dui, fen jiu zi chuo.
姊妹啊，你说这样说对吗？已经千错万错了。 That means you made a thousand or ten thousand mistakes or wrongdoing, but if you're one, you're right. And if you are a thousand times and 10,000 times right and correct and truthful, but if you divide, you're wrong. Why do you need this in the Bible? That is an LSM oneness. Even if we are all wrong, we have to keep the oneness. That's a oneness of the lives. That's not a heavenly oneness. That's oneness from the flesh somewhere down below. It's not from above. The Jerusalem I knew was from above. Am I too harsh to say this? 千错万错，和就是对。千对万对，分就是错。胡闹乱讲。Do you believe this kind of a doctrine?
No.
Who invented such a doctrine? Tell me.
The devil.
The devil, exactly. What kind of a oneness are we keeping here? My hair is gray now. Not without reason. My Lord and my God, what kind of a oneness are we keeping? Human oneness, a oneness of lies and all kinds of wrongdoings and mistakes, and that means you try to keep a kind of a oneness at the cost of truth, at the cost of obedience to the Father. Right? You're keeping a oneness at the cost of a pure and living testimony. Then why did you come out of the LSM in the first place? Then you must be wrong, although you were right at that time. So what kind of a logic is this? A German logic? Huh? Is it? I don't know where this logic comes from. It's a strange philosophy. Right. So, dear saints, learn to see today. Zion is a heavenly Zion.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the city of the living God.
Yes.
It's not your city. It's not my city.
Right.
Although we are part of it. But we are just part of it as a living stone. But if you are not in the Spirit, in reality of the Spirit, not in the doctrine, then you cannot see the heavenly city. No. No. That's why today, if you ask me to define, I cannot define. How are you going to define the heavenly city? Tell me. Tabitha, define to me the heavenly city. How can you define that? What doctrine are you going to use? Either you're heavenly or you're not.
Yes.
那你形容一下属天的耶路撒冷，你形容。 能形容呢？ Impossible. You cannot describe. You have to feel it. You have to know it. You have to live it. Right? You have to be in that realm, then you know it is heavenly.
Yes.
It is very easy to know if somebody is fleshly or not. It's very easy. Yeah, it's very easy. You can even see it in their eyes. Unless they are, doing it in the Hollywood style, then you won't see it. Well, hypocrisy, that's what the word hypocrisy means, acting. They are actors. But how long can you act? And if you keep on acting and acting, you'll be sick, I tell you. Because you're becoming what you are not. Well, when you see today, Zion, the church, is heavenly.
Amen.
And it has to be. Really in spirit, then you are on the right track. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.